from the hallowed halls of Flood Law, via the Golden Tower of the Fisher Building, this is Behind the Bench on News Talk 760 WJR. With your law expert, Todd Flood. Brought to you by Flood Law. Flood Law, when it matters. Visit floodlaw.com. Now get ready with your legal questions for one of the Great Lakes' leading attorneys by calling 800-859-0957. That's 800-859-0WJR. Now here's your host, Todd Flood.
We're back. Time is flying. We got one of the best guys for WJR behind the board tonight. Brian, thank you for being here tonight. We got a lot to talk about. It is clearly, you want to know about behind the bench. Here we go. We got Scalia's fill-in and nominee, a fan of Justice Scalia. I got to tell you, I am too, or I was too, for many reasons. He's a guy that called it as not getting into the legislative mode, but reading the law as it is written and applying it to the case. Stare decisis and making judgments and rulings based on law, not on trying to be a legislator. And here now we have someone that follows in that, Judge Gorsuch, who, boy, has that caused a stir. And candidly, that's great, but it is he is someone, and I'd love to hear from you, 1-800-859-0-WJR. Call in with your thoughts and comments. Hopefully, we have a return guest from Yale Law School. I know he is trying to call in. He's in a and be our guest tonight, Dr. Amir from Yale Law. He's a U of M grad and is now teaching constitutional law out at Yale, who I think will have a good insight, but we'd like to hear from you on it. 1-800-859-0957. What are your thoughts? Do you think it's a good nomination, someone that will balance the bench, lean too far right, not? Is he someone, if President Trump gets a second choice in the picture and picks another person of it that ilk, will it tilt it too far? The balance of the court, I think, it will still be there, but I'd like to hear from you. Also, something near and dear to my heart, education. We have Betsy DeVos nomination. She now moves to the full Senate. It was a close vote, but here's the thing. Listening and reading everything there is about the comments with Betsy DeVos, you got to like this. It's a right to choose, the choice of education and opening the doors to potential whether or not you think that's good, bad, or indifferent, but everyone on this side of public education, and I got to tell you, I come from a family of primarily public educators. My mother and my father were both outstanding teachers in the public schools, and candidly, it was a different time. And I think as we look at Betsy DeVos, I like her nomination for this. She is someone that's going to come in and hopefully open the doors to one big thing, making education the primary goal, instead of going through five steps to finally call as we see it, what's the best thing we can do is teach our kids. And making that the priority, to me, it should be the number one goal, making it available around the country that everyone gets that education, to me is, that's the key. And Betsy DeVos stands for that. I think she said all the right things. And I'm hopeful that she can move forward in getting access for everybody and a right to choose. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. 1-800-859-0-WJR. I see we have someone that looks like from Dearborn, Pat. Pat, you with me?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, Pat, you don't sound excited. What's going on?
I'm excited. Actually, I'm excited about our Supreme Court choice.
Why is that?
And why? I'm excited because these people that have been really ranting and raving about the Republicans, or the not Republicans but conservatives, have really lost their voice.
Say, this is what I'm curious about, Pat. It's not necessarily, I don't mind, First Amendment, great, and I think it, obviously Justice Gorsuch, as he goes through, and I don't mind the debate, I don't mind holding the test up for him, I'm sure he's going to pass. The question I have for you, is there such an imbalance in the bench, or... is this a justice that you believe that will make it so, hey, listen, we bring things to an equal balance? You don't want it too far left. You don't want it too far right. This is a guy that candidly has stood up for many things. And the big questions people have is he going to is there now an attempt to reverse Roe v. Wade? Is there now an attempt that may come into play? What are your thoughts about that?
Well, I think he's just exactly what we needed in this time period in life. I am tired of people talking about Democrat and Republican. I would prefer speaking about conservatives to liberals.
Sure.
And the problem with most liberals, they really do not want to hear what a conservative's got to say. Only because they have the voice of media and Hollywood and New York on their side. And I guess it's shame on them.
Well, you know, why does Hollywood have any stronger voice than anyone else? Just probably because of the popularity in the media.
Money.
No, you're right. So, you know, the media gravitates towards celebrities as opposed to someone like you.
They go to everybody that actually is going to make their heart drop.
Right.
Whether it be Tom Cruise or whether it be anybody else, until they realize that maybe their thoughts are wrong. And I don't know where it's going to end.
Well, I got to tell you, Pat, I seriously appreciate you calling in. I love the fact you voiced your opinion. And candidly, I'm more on your side and in agreement with the conservative view and looking at things from how they are written and as opposed to trying to get into the legislative mind and change laws from the bench.
Truth will set you free, huh?
Well, there you go. So thank you so much for calling in and listening. I appreciate it. Call in if you want. We have a lot of topics to talk about. Obviously, that issue has... made many people heated as far as the right to Roe v. Wade and the right to life. That is something that, candidly, the question becomes whether or not you think that it may be a topic of discussion and what's the ripe case coming up in front of the court. I don't see that getting disturbed for any time soon. However, it's a worthwhile debate. 1-800-859-0-WJR, 1-800-859-0-957. What about Betsy DeVos? Here's the key. Behind the bench, you got with Flood Law right now. Betsy DeVos, again, I think a classic pick and someone that, as I see it, someone that was in the public... came from public education all the way through. I think that the number one focus that we have to have is increasing and making sure that, one, teachers are qualified, teachers get the right pay, and students get educated. If anyone can dispute that, I'd love to hear it. 1-800-0- 1-800-859-0WJR. We got someone else coming in on the line. So, you know, and I got to love Brian back here. He's running around like a madman, but, you know, I get Paul W's guy. That's awesome. So we got someone, Todd from Monroe, Supreme Court. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
Another day of paradise, just working for a living, trying to make a buck. It's a tough world out there sometimes, Todd. So what's on your mind? I see you want to talk about the Supreme Court.
Well, yeah. So who was excited about it? I'm pretty excited about this guy.
Why is that?
It's not because he's Republican or Democrat or liberal or conservative. In a sense, it's that he follows the written law as it's written and not making things up out of it. Because, you know, my view, and I think it's probably what his view is, you know, if it's not written down, if you just make it up, you really have no law. You have people kind of dictating their own personal beliefs onto everybody else. And you can't rely on it, so you have no law, really. So it's all lawlessness at that point.
Well, to the extent, you know, I'm not one that there's this, you know, the spirit of the law or the, you know, the living, breathing Constitution. I do believe that if you take the context of the Constitution and you bring in the brilliant minds that put it together, a body of people, and 27 times we amended it thereafter, you know, you have to go through the process. You have to be, you know, if you want to change and bring different aspect to the Constitution, you have to go through the amendment process. Otherwise, here we sit and we see that this body of work, perhaps the best body of work for any free country put together, is one that has stood the test of time and has resolved more things in the best way as opposed to the wrong way. Now, don't get me wrong. There have been decisions where I scratch my head and say, are you out of your mind? But for the most part, the people that Justice Scalia and the like have brought balance to the Constitution or to the Supreme Court and interpret the law as it is written as opposed to making law. You know what, Todd, I like your first name. Thank you so much for calling in, and I appreciate your comments. I see we got Doug from Port Huron. I'd love to hear all of you tonight. I see the board lighting up, 1-800-859-0WJR. Doug, my man from Port Huron, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing well tonight.
Good. Well, thank you so much for listening. What's on your mind?
Well, I just wanted to make a comment on the selection for the Supreme Court.
Sure.
I look at it, you know, I listened to some of the comments today from different people, and they, on the negative side, they'll say, well, he's not a good judge as far as defending unions and so on, different groups, right?
Right.
But I see in a good judge one who interprets the law, and I understand this guy interprets the law. So if there's a situation that involves a union and or a business or something like that, it's not up to him to interpret the law in favor of one group or another. It's up to him to just interpret the law. And if there's a bent one way or the other, then I think it's the law that's at fault, not the judge.
Well, amen to that. I agree 100%. It is that is exactly the way, you know, Doug, that most people that sit on the bench, this is the people's court, the Supreme Court, and we live by the rule of the law. And if people don't like the law or there needs to be an amendment, there's a process for which we must go through.
Exactly.
So let me ask you this. Now, have you looked at the comments today and you see what's going on? And I'm sure that obviously there's issues with, you know, I have all the respect in the world for lawyers going to the airports and doing their free speech and working diligently. I understand the ACLU made more in one weekend than they made in an entire year to help battle for people of refugees or people that are coming into the States. What are your thoughts about that issue, if you have any?
Well, I'm not against people standing up for, you know, here's the, here's the thing I see. If you've been offended, if you've been hurt, you have a right to protest. Okay?
Right.
If it doesn't affect you, then all you're doing is throwing a temper tantrum. So, with respect to lawyers going to the airports, I mean, sometimes they're going just to create an issue, to draw light to a particular problem. But I understand that the issues at the airports and so on was resolved fairly quickly, but they're persistent as far as making this a bigger issue than what it probably is. I agree that we need to do something as far as protecting the borders. I think a pause and taking a look at how refugees are vetted is a good thing. I totally agree with the fact that this is not a religious thing. This is an act to protect the country against terrorists that come from countries where there's known terrorism. So I don't see an issue there. But, you know, lawyers going and defending people and looking for clients at the airport to take up a cause for them, I think it's just going to be a waste of time in the courts.
Well, we all have rights. We have this Constitution that gives us those rights, and I applaud anyone that does it with the benevolent and the right motives, not the wrong agendas. You know what? I really, really appreciate, Doug, you listening in tonight, and thank you for calling in. We got Bill from Ann Arbor calling me on Betsy DeVos, pick for the Education Secretary. Bill, what's your thoughts? What say you on Betsy DeVos, Ms. DeVos? Hopefully Secretary DeVos.
Right. Hi, Todd. Thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Well, I grew up over in Grand Rapids, so I'm familiar with the DeVos family, and so I think their heart is usually in the right place. They're trying to do good things for the community. And actually, I think Betsy DeVos comes from the Prince family as well, which is another big name over there. So I think she wants to affect change, and anybody who wants to do that for education, I think that's a good thing, because the status quo hasn't served the kids very well, to your point.
Well, that's what frustrates me the most. We got to go through 500 different things before we get to the substance, the sum and substance, and that is educating our children. So I'm tired. Right. I'm tired of that. I want educators to be properly paid, the right buildings, the right facilities. I don't know if you saw most recently how many buildings are in a state of disrepair, and we need to get to a place where our children get the primary function in the education system, and that is being taught.
And one of the things I'd like to see is a structural change in a school year. I have two kids, and they both went through public education in Ann Arbor, and you know, went on to college, and I'm proud of them.
Yeah,
but,
absolutely.
I'll tell you, it was tough in the summertime raising kids and trying to find something for them to do. And then it was also tough during the school year because everybody is double booked and triple booked on sports and everything. I think they should just stretch the school year out across all of the months and have, you know, one quarter less school time during the day and then run all the sports in the other quarter. And the teachers can prep for their lessons, and kids can get home for dinner, and everybody would be much better off. I just don't understand the summer's off thing. Is just crazy madness to me.
Well, I got to tell you, it is a topic that the longer the education period is, what's the proof in the pudding as far as results go? How do the children and students react to it? Do they get a better education? I think it's worthwhile to discuss it, but I applaud your thoughts and the insights on Betsy DeVos. I believe you're right. Her heart's in the right place, and one thing she wants to do is have a different conversation. Things are failing. I can make you a million excuses, and you can blame it all on resources, but Betsy DeVos, I think, ultimately will be resourceful and getting done what she needs to get done. She has that... from everything I can read, and I'm a public educated guy myself, I got to believe that she is someone that will affect change. Thanks for calling in, Bill. I really appreciate it. Appreciate your comments. We have Sam. I want to get to you, Sam. You also have some thoughts. Everyone who wants to call in, 1-800-0-WJR, 1-800-859-0957. We're talking about the Supreme Court pick and now talking about Betsy DeVos. Sam, thanks for calling in.
Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you. So what's on your mind, Sam?
My concern is regarding charter schools and using tax dollars to fund privately owned companies. And my biggest concern is that if you're going to try to educate children, which is a huge responsibility, then I think everybody should have the same criteria that says, tell us how well you're doing. You know, you don't let us know how much you pay for rent. You don't tell us who owns the buildings. Pay structures are kind of subject to hidden figures. And some of these schools aren't doing that great of a job over the public schools. So we take public money away from public schools. They're struggling. And the charter schools, in some cases, are not doing a whole lot better.
Well, I got to tell you, often you get to the point or question of school of choice. And should you have a right to have school of choice? And does the charter school, if that is the case, and opens the doors up to education, does it ultimately get you a school of choice? Here's my question to you. If you are in a position right now where, and you know, I send my kids out to the Berkeley School District public schools, one of the best, I think, in the state, just a class act school. But if your school system is not providing all the necessary tools and education to get to the bottom line, to teach our kids and give them the access to a great education, don't you think we need to change the conversation? Don't you think we need a change agent, like someone like Betsy DeVos, to put in ultimately, I think, more access and perhaps more creativity of using being resourceful? It's not working right now in a lot of places, as you well know, right? So what do we have to do? And my question to you is, don't you think we need to change the conversation?
Oh, absolutely. When you get into it, I mean, if you're trying to make sure that our children are educated, the places where they go to school are safe, clean, and conducive to giving them a good education, that should be the primary concern. But if we're saying I'm a charter school and I now can take state funds and I'm going to pay my bills, make money on the building rent, and so on, do we do the same thing for the Catholic schools that were always usually very, very well qualified, very good teachers and so on, and say, well, why don't they qualify for state money if it's going to a private institution? You know, there needs to be a large picture, in my opinion, that says main job is to train the kids, make sure that they're coming out of there with all of the things they need to succeed, maybe some moral attitudes and such. And if we're going to go to private companies where the person that owns a school also owns a building, teachers, you know, who knows what they're getting paid, when do we sit down and say, what's the secret for everybody? Well, we devastate the public schools, which we've done. Public schools are hurting. I don't have exact figures, and it's hard to find out this, how much did the charter schools take away from the public schools, but we know they have.
Well,
and so in the meantime, we've got some charter schools that do okay, some that don't do well, public schools that have all sorts of issues, some that are great depending on where you live, Catholic schools that are closing like crazy. It just seems like there's a serious hodgepodge of what to do with the money that you and I pay for our taxes.
Well, I got to tell you, Sam, I really appreciate your call. You make some good points. I'm going to leave you with that note. Call in 1-800-859-0-WJR, 1-800-859-0957. Steve, I'm going to get back to you just after the break. The key for the public education in the schools, I just sat and judged a mock trial in public schools, and I got to tell you, don't get me wrong, there are unbelievable, dedicated teachers that do an amazing job. But there is too much and too many students that are left to the wayside that don't have all the benefits that they should be afforded in this country, in this state, for education. It's just something near and dear. I look forward to having everybody get on the phone tonight to talk about the Supreme Court nominee with Judge Neil Gorsuch. And we'll be right back with Behind the Bench and Flood Law just after this.
You're listening to Behind the Bench, radio's most comprehensive legal forum, where you ask the questions and Todd Flood provides informal counsel. Submit your legal questions at 800-859-0WJR. And get to know Todd Flood at floodlaw.com. Now, here's Todd Flood.
We're back. So we got several calls coming in. We have, looks like Steve here from Brighton. Steve, thanks so much for hanging on. I see you want to talk about public schools. What say you?
Sure. Well, I want to make clear, I'm a public school graduate. My kids went to public school. My siblings, you know, my wife was a public school teacher, and so was my mom. I was a substitute teacher. I'm not anti-public schools, but when we have this debate, let's be fair about the money issue, because when the kids go to a charter school and they take their foundation grant with them, all the taxpayer money, the property tax money, still stays in the public school. So for me and for most Michigan residents, the largest single item on our property tax bill is for the schools. And all the non-homestead property taxes that go up to 18 mils along with the business taxes, those go to the public schools as well. So they do have an advantage, and I want to see them succeed, and I'm happy that they're opening the sports and after-school programs to non-public school kids, but let's not make it sound as if we're totally taking away that funding by allowing kids choice. And don't we want to encourage the parents that are more vested in their kids' education and who are going through a lot more to give their kids transportation to a charter school or whatever? Don't we want to encourage that?
Absolutely. I mean, you hit the nail on the head on many levels. The money, what I think is oftentimes not properly articulated what you just did. The public schools are not losing funds through charter schools. The ultimate question that keeps on popping up is our testing and our education compared to students from foreign countries or from areas that have a more stringent and strict education, and the platform for which we teach our students, is it up to par for where we need and what was given to you? What the opportunities in the day where it was a different day? And my parents, with public schools, we got a lot from home. Where it needs to begin, oftentimes, if not always, right? But the key is that now, when you look out there, we don't have the right funding for teachers. I'm a big proponent of making a meritocracy, of making sure that teachers, the best we can get for the right pay and the right benefits to get them in there. But it all gets down to one thing, and that emotional level of a passion for your job of teaching kids. When you find that person, that teacher, and there's millions of them, thousands of them, and you find them and you put them in the classrooms to make sure your son, your daughter out there are educated, that's what we want. And Betsy DeVos, through charter schools, that is, you know, it changes the conversation to know right now we're not giving the best to our kids throughout the country, and we need to. Shame on us for not doing that. And the only reason I bring this up, and behind the bench, is because it's something that's near and dear to my heart, just because of the mere fact. Same with you, probably, Steve, is your family sounds like a bunch of educators. So thank you for calling in. I sincerely appreciate it. 1-800-859-0WJR, 1-800-859-0957. So call in with your questions. We're talking about the Supreme Court. You know, if you want to talk about U.S. attorney, if you want to talk about anything with regards to who's coming in as it relates to what it's going to be like, feel free. We're taking all calls, 1-800-859-0957. It looks like Cable, you calling me on privacy rights?
Yes, sir. Good evening.
Good evening. Thanks for calling in, Cable. So tell me, what are you talking about with regards to privacy rights?
Two-part question. With the last president, he publicly fought for privacy, but privately pushed for the government to have access to backdoors for encrypted devices like cell phones. Do you think the new president should do the same? and should the Supreme Court make a ruling on this? And the example I give is Apple versus the FBI back in California.
Right. So here's the thing. There's an expectation of privacy rights, right? And you have a subjective and an objective privacy right into something that, like your cell phone and the like. Here, you have, just as a side note, and I don't mean to digress too much, but the cell phones are being taken. Text messages and emails are being searched at the airports left and right. So when you have this conundrum of law enforcement trying to break into a phone to stop crime or prevent crime, weigh that versus the individual right, privacy right, to the expectation of privacy into the cell phone. You know, the President Obama, with going around the back door to try to get into what the terrorist that was actually happening out in Washington at that time, I think, had a different act to get into the phone, in which ultimately, you said it, Cable, the FBI got into the phone without having Apple divulge the information. So to answer your question, it never got to the point where Apple had to turn it over. Unless you have probable cause to believe for the fruits for which you're going to go in and find a crime in that cell phone, be it a text message or an email, unless you have probable cause, I don't find any exception for a police officer or an agent to break into the phone, unless there is an exception. And that exception may be under the Terrorist Act and war crimes and the like, where, hey, listen, it's a different ball game, and we need to get into that phone to stop the terrorists from happening. But just the average Joe on the street, could you imagine the invasion of privacy on those things that you hold dear? It would open up a slippery slope, and I'm not in favor of it. But Cable, thank you so much for calling in. You got any other questions on privacy rights?
No, sir, but keep up the good job up in Flint. I hear you're knocking it out of the park up there.
You're a good man. Thank you for saying that. We're trying every day. So call in 1-800-859-0-WJR, 1-800-859-0-957. Well, one of the things that I think a concern that many people have out there is the travel. And this is I think the biggest issue that faces Trump. What are the legal issues that are in this? Is the world safer? And I would love to hear from you. 1-800-859-0-WJR. It looks like we have Vince from Royal Oak. Vince, what's happening?
Just getting home from work. So I wanted to talk about the Supreme Court and how all the nominees seem to be from Ivy League law schools. It's as if there are no law schools in the Midwest or in the West. And I think, you know, that kind of gives us a narrower focus of training and opinion within the justices.
Well, you know, you raise a good point, right? So I find that someone that lived life that got boo-boos and bumps in life along the way, along the journey, oftentimes has maybe a better perspective on, how the shoe pinches. But the question becomes, Vince, really, not necessarily where you're from, but that you're given all the opportunities to become what you want to become. And the Supreme Court, Ivy League, let's face it, the outlier there is that ultimately they're going to be a bigger pick, a bigger crop to get the education, and you want to go back into the education realm to sit on something as high as the highest court in our land. But don't get me wrong, there's great success stories out there. There's some people that sit on our Supreme Court that didn't go to the Ivy Leagues. Wayne State law professors, Wayne State graduates, you know, not Ivy League, but one of the best schools, I think, in our state, one of the best law schools in the Midwest. So,
exactly.
Yeah. So are you a lawyer? Are you a lawyer, Vince? You're coming home at 10 to 8.
No, just an engineer. They make us work hard, too.
All right. Well, hey, thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate
it. Interesting show.
Thank you so much. We got Pat from Richmond. Pat, what say you? What would you like to talk about tonight?
About the media and the Democratic Party, how they always try and paint America's mindset on, you know, we put it together, the nomination, Trump is a conservative judge, and right away, this person's outside of mainstream. And you look at just what happened in the past in November, where, I mean, the Democratic Party put a candidate, spent much more than Trump did, and yet they still couldn't win the American public over. And so maybe the media has started looking themselves, maybe they're outside of mainstream America, instead of always trying to convince mainstream America that somehow they're, you know, these conservative views are off base. You know, it just gets tiresome.
You know? Well, here's the thing. You know, good old-fashioned investigative reporting. We have a lot of great reporters and investigators in our state, and specifically, you know, in Detroit. I can't tell you 2, 4, and 7 is we're loaded with great reporters and investigators. But I do agree with you when you find people that have agendas that sit in the media to sway one way or the other. It's disconcerting, and it shouldn't be considered news reporting when you have agendas. But let me ask you this. You mentioned something, and obviously the Democrats couldn't pull off the electoral vote for President for Hillary, right? So, but my question is that the majority actually, you know, Trump didn't win the majority. You know, and you know, the vote that came out was an amazing vote. I think I can't remember in history that type of lands. You know how Trump won Michigan, Wisconsin, Ohio, and put in together that corridor, but he didn't win the popular vote. What say you about that?
Well, if you look at the two states that went overwhelmingly for Hillary, it was New York and California. You take those two out of the equation, then you have a totally different picture. And tell me who's on a mainstream there. Those two states think they're right on target with America's view, but maybe they're not.
Well, it was Trump's time to win. And mainstream America, you know what? That's the beautiful thing about the country for which we live in. Everyone gets a voice and everyone gets to talk just like you. And I sincerely appreciate, Pat, you calling in. You raise good points. But, you know, that the bottom line is that we now have a new time. And a new time, a lot of controversial issues and things that need to be vetted out. And the dialogue and the conversation needs to change constantly so that we continue to strive to make sure that we get everything right within politics. I must tell you, I don't have the skin or thought process, thick enough skin to be a politician or the desire to be a politician, not in my bailiwick, but it's one of the most important positions in our country. From the council people to the mayors to the senators to the legislators to the congresspeople, you name it, because they affect change. And I'd love to hear from you. 1-800-859-0WJR, 1-800-859-0957. And we have several things going on. One of the big things going on in Detroit, and I got to tell you something, on the front page of the Detroit Free Press,
someone that is a very dear friend and a great, great guy, Tom Lawan Jr. He, Tom is now the new CEO of Shinola. He's been in there for about a year almost. Looks like work begins on the Shinola Hotel. Detroit's in the forefront of one of the best cities coming back and a place to live. Love to hear from you. 1-800-0-WJR. We'll be back right after this with the follow-it up. So back behind the bench right after this. We're back.
And now, here's Todd Flood.
Going at it. It's been a busy night. We've had a lot of conversations, a lot of great conversations, a lot of concerned citizens and good thoughts out there. You know, here's the big thing that's going on. We have a Supreme Court judge, I think, you know, obviously is going to cause a huge stir and a lot of passion within the in the nominee and the confirmation. But candidly, he is someone that is an originalist, someone that looks at the content of the Constitution as when it was written, someone that doesn't, you know, follow the other areas of this is a living, breathing Constitution. It brings balance and good dialogue and fair ruling to the Supreme Court. It's not as though now all of a sudden you're going to see a tip one way or the other that it goes off the chart towards far right or far left. There is still the balance. If there was another person that came in for President Trump to nominate, well, then obviously we could swing the court in a different direction. But right now, as we see it, I think Neil Gorsuch is someone, Justice Gorsuch is such as someone that is going to be great for the bench and fit Justice Scalia's shoes very well. For behind the bench, he is someone that I believe is going to be fighting for the Constitution and the rights within the Constitution. And that's something I do every single day, and fight for the small guy out there with rights that oftentimes are not afforded to him or her. So I look forward to Justice Gorsuch to come onto the bench. Betsy DeVos, it seems as though, you know, everyone agrees we need to make change. We need to have a different conversation. And we also need to have the bottom line, better education and opportunities for our students. It's not taking money away from public schools. It's school of choice. It gets the opportunity to change the dialogue. The number one focus should be on every student that goes into that classroom. And if charter school brings that to our country, I applaud that. So, till next time with Flood Law and Behind the Bench. We'll talk to you then.